Welcome to the My Mickey podcast, where we explore the magic and wonder of Disney together. And now, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the My Mickey podcast. I'm your host, Karen, and the owner of My Mickey Vacation Travel. Today, I'm here with my friend, Stacy, who is also a dream designer with My Mickey Vacation, her husband, Danny, otherwise known as Dr. Disney, and my Disney-loving husband, Jeff. The past few episodes, we have talked quite a bit about the new things that are coming to the Disney World parks. And in the midst of some of those conversations, we kind of got a little nostalgia about some of the things that we've missed and that have retired. So I thought it would be kind of fun to just dedicate a episode on just our favorite things that we missed and kind of go take a little walk down memory lane. Anyone want to start with one of their favorite memories and a sad attraction that they miss for a show?
Well, I think we have to start with the obvious and the most recent, and that would be Great Movie Ride.
Yes, I know.
See, that's the only one. That's the only thing from studios that has been taken out over the last few years that I actually was upset about. Everything else I can defend with. Hardly anyone went there, and this is, you know, this, and they have to move on for this, and they're making construction over there for that. But Great Movie Ride, I know in the last couple of years, the lines were not very long, and there was confusion as to who sponsored this, but this one hurt.
I agree. That was kind of a tough one to do, and I'm sure it'll be really neat what they're doing with the... I'm drawing a total blank as to what the new attraction, the
Mickey
and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
That's there you
it.
Go.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm looking so forward to it. Yeah.
I'm sure it will be cute and, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I think they could have made a separate building and just did something in addition to keeping the Great Movie Ride. But
yeah, well, how crazy that Mickey didn't really have an attraction here.
That is true, which is kind of sad. You think that he would have had one by now. So I'm glad he's getting one.
I think it'll be an amazing addition, but I will miss the Great Movie Ride because I think that was something, of course, it's been there from the beginning, and it was what I would go to first every single time. You had to start with the Great Movie Ride.
One of the things we didn't know, or at least we didn't experience, mm-hmm. was in the ride where the your host on the train would leave the scene and be replaced by the mobster or the cowboy. And we didn't, in all the years we went on that ride, we had never seen the cowboy scene. We only ever saw the mobster scene. Yeah. And
we never knew about it until Danny mentioned it on his blog.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that
I can't believe you never ever caught that.
No, no clue. And in our very last ride, knowing it was going to be our very last ride before they closed the attraction down, we got in and we're like, how do we see the cowboy guy instead of the mobster scene? And the cast member was like, all you have to do is sit in the front half of the train section, not the back half. And we're like, well, we must have only ever sat in the back half. And she's like, well, come on up. And so we got to see the cowboy scene, which is the only time ever we saw it. And it was our very last ride through the attraction.
And I'm going to tell you, right before you started talking, I was sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's something I have to bring up, that so many people have like come to me over the years, and when it was getting ready to close and I had written that article, and they're like, what do you mean a cowboy scene? And I'm like, you don't know? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay. I understand if people don't know, because sometimes you don't go to Disney often and you only get a few times, but
sure.
It's just odd to me, especially with y'all, as often as y'all go, that you didn't even accidentally get put in that front car.
Well,
never.
Well, let me say this. As far as being handicap accessible, you could only do in the front car.
Ah.
So if someone had to be with someone who was handicap accessible, they were put in the front car.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be one reason why a lot of people didn't see it.
Right.
Yeah, because when you have a wheelchair or anything, they automatically go to the front. They would go to the front and put you in the front of the front train. And then if they had additional wheelchairs, they would put them in that back train. But nine times out of 10, that front part of the train of the ride was kept for that. And then a big issue over the past few years was that they split it to the front being fast pass and the back half being standby.
Okay.
So there were a number of things, handicap accessible, the fast pass line standing in the way, and that may have been what kept you from even accidentally being put up there.
That could be true. Yeah. Because we've never really fast passed that. So maybe that's why we kept missing mm-hmm. it.
Well, and I think it also had some of the greatest hidden Mickeys. I just do. I think I would always love to go in there and try to find a hidden Mickey.
There were a lot of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there were a lot of them. So I think I had to mention that first and not foremost, because there's others I think I missed more, but we could not mention the great Mickey.
Well, I'm glad you
that
did.
One's
that's
missed.
That's definitely a good one.
That's actually where I learned. That was actually where I learned about hidden Mickeys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got stuck on the ride. I was probably in my mid-teens or something like that. I can't remember when it was, and the ride just stopped, and there was technical issues, and we were stuck in the Indiana Jones scene with the snakes. Why did it have to be snakes? And as we're sitting there, like, our guide was like, "Okay, you know, there's this with Indiana Jones, and up ahead is the horror movie, and." Did y'all know the plane from Casablanca and Jungle Cruise and blah, 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 all these little tidbits? Mm-hmm. And then he goes, after like 25 minutes, he's like, I'm kind of running out of things to talk about and I'm sorry. And he goes, oh, wait. He goes, did you know that Mickey, Donald, C-3PO, and R2-D2 are in this room? And, I mean, at the time I knew a lot about Disney, but, you know, I was mid-teens. I didn't know a ton. And he goes, yep. He goes, look up behind this statue on my right, your left. And he's like, when the lightning flashes, you can see in the hieroglyphics, there's Mickey on the throne, Donald in front of him, and R2-D2 and C-3PO are up there as well. That was the first time I ever learned a hidden Mickey.
Well, that's really cool. See, yeah. It pays to get stuck on some of these attractions.
It does.
She learns some new things.
Yeah, but it doesn't pay to find out these things after the attraction's closed.
Very
yeah.
true.
Very true. Very true.
I feel sad now because now people are going to know.
Now people are going to go Google right now.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
I know. Try to search for that.
Oh, man.
Well, one of my favorite retired attractions is also from Hollywood Studios, and that is the Backstage Movie Tour. And I'm going to actually even date it back to the original Backstage Movie Tour whenever Hollywood Studios was an actual working studio. Because back then, the tram that you were on would take you backstage to where you could see the wardrobe departments and the animators, and the building where Toy Story Mania is currently housed used to be actual working studios. And so the tram would go through the top of the studios with some windows so you could look into the studios and what was being filmed. And I know one time I was on, they had the set for the Mickey Mouse Club set up there. And then in the next studio was, Danny, you'll like this, but it was mm-hmm. one of the old wrestling shows pro wrestling shows that used to film there. And I'm not sure whether it was the old
It was Monday Night Nitro.
Yeah, WCW, right. And so they had that studio set up in there as well. So you could see all that stuff. They had the back lot where I think what show was that, Karen? I know you're a fan of it. They had the house.
Golden Girls?
Golden Girls house, yeah.
Yes.
So Golden Girls back Empty when it Nest. Was,
yeah, back when it was a real working studio, that was a real fun backstage tour to take.
See, a lot of people don't realize it. And, you know, that's something else is that Streets of America where, not New York Street, but the Streets of America where Jeff was talking about with the Golden Girls house and Empty Nest and everything. That was a huge part of that tour. And that was actually my favorite part as well. That was mm-hmm. what I loved to see in that entire thing. That was phenomenal.
I miss the Golden Girls house. That would be my favorite part of the tour.
Yeah. I mean, I love
I would do the same thing. But I remember going through and seeing all the costuming. Jeff, I remember one time we went through and they had, it was from the 101 Dalmatians movie with Glenn Close.
Uh-huh.
And they were doing that. And they would have, remember they would have like, they would spotlight some in the glass cases
right.
when you went by.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was one that was in there. And I remember specifically seeing that one. So, yeah, I miss that. I miss that a lot.
And I was always surprised they actually took you by the windows where they were actually working on the costumes. The seamstresses were in there, and you could see them sewing and working on the costumes. And I miss those days whenever it was an actual working studio down there.
That was actually when, like you mentioned about wrestling with WCW Nitro, because I'm a huge nerd, that whole entire area when they filmed Nitro at studios, they did it back there. They did it out in front of Hollywood Studios, MGM, whatever you want to call it. But they did it out front as well, and that was a huge starting point in wrestling history with the NWO, the New World Order, and everything. And, I mean, that was a cool part about Disney's Hollywood Studios at the time is if you went over there, you never know what you would see, celebrities or stars or athletes, and it was just really cool. It added that Disneyland, Disney California Adventure aspect, because when you're over there, you're going to see stars and celebrities and people walking around and all that stuff, and we always see somebody and walk past somebody and we're like, oh, that's so-and-so, or that's Kobe Bryant, or that's who it is. And but like that's how it used to be here at Hollywood Studios, because as you said, it was a real working studio. They were on the job. They were working, so they were here.
And I guess a lot of that goes to the handprint section in front of the Chinese theater there. I mean, that's where a lot of that came from, was the celebrities who were there doing work would go in and do their handprint. So a lot of that nostalgia and history is actually still there as part of the studios.
I hope that stays.
I do. I know. You're right.
I hope so. To keep with our Hollywood Studios sadness, one thing that I miss a lot is the Animation Academy, where they teach you how to draw the little characters and stuff, and you get your little table with the light, and I thought that was really cool.
That was underrated.
I didn't discover that. I know. I didn't discover that till later, much later on, but I loved doing that, and I'm surprised that they actually got rid of that. Maybe they'll bring it back to one of the other areas, but
well, maybe because Launch Bay was always meant to be temporary, because it was like a holding pattern while they built Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, that's true. But that was really, I loved having the Animation Academy. And the cool thing is that kind of, they have that on the Disney cruise ships, where they do the little learn to draw your characters. And they also have it in Disney California Adventure. So every time I go on my Disney cruises or I head out to Disneyland in California, I'm always sure to do that. I love doing that. And they make for neat souvenirs.
See, I guess before we switch parks, Stacey, there was something else you talked about the other day.
I know. I have to mention it. And
go ahead.
I'm probably the one to start all the controversy. I have to call it an attraction, but the Osborne Lodge, I miss it. I miss it so much. I don't know if we'll call it an attraction, but I just think it's hard to say it's Christmas around here without them being here.
Oh, the Osborne Lodge. The
Osborne Lodge. Yeah. I miss it so much. And I remember we've been coming here so many years for Christmas, and I really think that I love that just as much as seeing the castle or the Osborne Lodge, and I miss it so much. I really wish that they had been able to move it somewhere else, even at Disney Springs, over at Epcot, and I know I'm one of those people who are just complaining about it, but I'm going to join the group here because I think it was worth it, so yeah. I'll be the one to mention it.
I know. Maybe they'll add it to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. You think when they open that, they'll add all the
that
Christmas lights there?
Yeah, because I'm sure that it's in Star Wars. The
you
toy
never
soldier.
Know. Maybe they'll want to have, you know, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge be festive for Christmas. You don't know.
Now, maybe I'm dating myself, but now combining two things, do y'all remember when you could actually walk down the streets of America past the Golden Girls house, the Empty Nest house, and that was decorated for Osborne lights?
No.
Really?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. That used to be open back there, and they would decorate that for the Osborne lights.
I think I remember that. That was a long, I think I remember them doing
long
that.
Long time ago, but and I was much younger. But yeah, that used to be open back that way, and that was made it even more expansive. And I understand why they got rid of it, you know, because they needed Star Wars Galaxy's Edge space, and it was only an area they used like 2 months out of the year, but I hate that that's gone.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I always enjoyed that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks for bringing me down.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. I'll be the one.
Debbie Downer well, gif.
Still at Hollywood Studios. I will say another oldie but a goodie, going back to the old days when Toy Story Mania building was being used for different purposes, was the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire mock game show.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. We had a good time at that. And the one thing
I never did that.
You never did it?
I've never done that.
It was so cool because it was an exact replica of the studio, you know, the round studio, and they would pull somebody out of the crowd and they would introduce the host.
I got
host.
Pulled.
Yeah, you did.
Of course, you did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I got to sit on stage and do it. And the prize they gave you, of course, I didn't get to the very end, but the prize they gave you for each level was they'd give you like a metal coin that would say like 500,000. 1 million, and each level you got to, it was a different level metal coin you'd get with the number of what level you got to.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I thought it was a pin set. I thought they were giving away pin sets.
They did later on, but again, I'm probably dating myself. But yeah, that was what I received was when I was on stage. I got like probably, I don't remember how high I got. I was a kid. And yeah, I got the metal coins.
Oh, cool. Because, yeah, the one time I saw it, we saw it several times, but the one time I remember, there was a guy who got like almost to the very last level, and they told him that if he won that, it was going to be a trip back to Disney, like it was a
really?
Free trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, like to win the whole thing. But it was really cool because I mean they actually treated it as if they were filming a live show. Like the host came in and did his host thing, you know, as if he was on TV, and that was fun. It was a neat attraction. I kind of was bummed whenever it went away.
Now that we've covered 90% of studios.
Yeah. Oh, and one thing I will not miss is Lights Motor Cars Action that was Stunt, whatever that thing was
no,
called.
No, I didn't like that either.
I managed to go the entire time without saying it.
Good for you.
Yeah. I say that as if it's an award. But no,
I've never seen it either.
Okay.
Somehow, I saw it once.
Somehow I didn't see it.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
The ending was cool. I mean, it was a good explosion at the end, but the rest of it,
but, yeah. Yeah, but giant, I mean, like Indiana Jones has some, but Lights, Motor, and Action was like constant flames and burning rubber and explosions, and it's 116 degrees here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's just too hot for that. It's too hot in Florida.
And it was loud.
It's
it was
not
very
necessary.
Loud.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to move on to Epcot, and I'm going to start with my two attractions that I miss, because these are the only two that I really remember and miss. And I know one of them, I'm going to get a lot of flack for it, but I'm going to say it anyway.
It may be mine too.
No, it's probably not. I do miss the Ellen's Energy Adventure ride.
What?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You're right. You're going to be the only one.
I know. I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was cool to sit in there for 45 minutes on a hot day. I liked
that
the dinosaurs. I actually enjoyed it. So I'm the only one, I think, in the country that misses it, but I actually enjoyed it. So there, I put that out.
I'll give you that.
So, well, I know nobody else misses it. I will.
Cricket.
Completely. I mean,
Cricket. You are the only one.
So, I know. So, okay, so now that I've addressed that, the only other thing that I missed at one of the others, one of our other episodes, is the Kitchen Cabaret show. I love
Stacey.
That little show.
Yes, that is what I missed the most. I miss the Kitchen Cabaret show. That is, we would go straight there every time, and we would see the Kitchen Cabaret show. I loved
Don't
it.
You love it? I know
I loved
the song.
It.
As the song gets stuck in my head, still to this day. Benji, fruit, fruit. I love it, and I just think that was the cutest show. I don't know why they got rid of that. I just think that was cute.
It was different levels too. Well, because there was Kitchen Cabaret originally, and then they went to Food Rocks. Which was actually, it wasn't bad, but it was kind of like a step down. They went from the like completely animatronic figures to like sometimes they were just like, you know, plywood cutouts. It was weird. And now it's, of course, the gigantic Soarin'.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you
well,
know.
Soarin', was... I mean, that was a nice replacement, I guess. But they could have put Kitchen Cabaret where that Lion King energy saving video is. I mean, that's not really.
The Lion King energy saving video.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that attraction.
What's that? The Lion King global warming circle video of life. That they have.
The Circle of Life.
You know, yeah, the award winning song.
Well, that's not necessary there. It's in Animal Kingdom, and that is, I love it, and that's awesome. And that does need to be in Epcot right there. I think Kitchen Cabaret would be better.
Okay. I'm gonna jump sides of Future World and say that, you know, two of my most missed attractions are in that area, but my probably one of my top two ever is Horizons, where Mission Space now stands.
I don't remember that attraction that's in there. For the life of me, I know. I can't.
I'm with you. I'm drawing a blank. For some reason I have a total blank on that attraction.
I know. I can't. Ellen is all that came to mind.
Well, you missed half your day by sitting in Ellen.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's great.
Hey, great day at Epcot. Kitchen Cabaret in Ellen's was fantastic.
I know. So I don't remember what Horizons.
Okay, Horizons was a big orange and cream building. It was exactly where Mission Space now stands. You walked in and, like, I mean, one of the... Well, quotes attributed to Walt, even though he wasn't the actual creator of it, he said it all the time, that if you can dream it, if we can dream it, we can do it, was written on the wall as you walk in. And what Horizons did was it took you through the future, not to the future. It took you, you jumped into the future and you were there with automated robots that were cleaning your house and how people could live in either space colonies, underwater colonies, or desert colonies. And that's where the three... you know, main living sections would be for the future. And I mean, it took, you had great songs and music. And then at the end, the four people, that's how many could fit in a car if you had four, but however many were in there, you would choose from a screen in front of you. And there were three options: desert, sea, and space. And the majority rules law was in effect. And whichever section was picked most, you saw a little like 30-second video of what life would be like for you in that living area in the future.
I don't remember that at all. So where was Body Wars then? Was that in the
Wonders of Life next door?
Wonders of Life.
Yeah, it was in the Wonders of Life Pavilion, in which was between Horizons and the Universe of Energy, Ellen's Energy Adventure Pavilion.
It's the same building they've been using the last several years for, like, the Festival Center.
Yes.
I remember that building, and I couldn't go on. I went on Body Wars once and got sick at it. So that
was awful.
Of that. Yeah. No. But I don't remember Horizons.
Well, I mean, I guess what I miss Kitchen Cabaret the most, and I don't think you can really call this attraction, but it's a person. And I think Disney, or Danny misses him the most too, but it's Dreamfinder.
Mm. Oh, yes. I miss him too.
Why can't we bring him back? I mean, they focus on Figment so much now.
Mm-hmm.
He was over at, he was the focus at Flower and Garden this year and Festival of the Arts. I just think it would be awesome to have Dreamfinder back.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I mean,
he's totally missing character. I mean, existence is gone.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was not only, like, a main part of that attraction in, you know, the original Journey into Imagination, but there were times he was, you know, out there, not, you know, for a wandering around, roaming character meet and greet. And it was him and Figment. And I'm like, that was one of the greatest things ever. But I don't know either.
And I've got a couple of pictures with him, too, from when I was younger.
Stacey does.
Yeah. I do, too.
It's one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah, when we were dating, that's the picture I sent to Danny to get him to marry me.
Aww.
He was three daughters.
And success.
And I was like, yeah, this is the picture I'll send. Yeah. That was one of the first pictures. I love that picture. And it was all the way back. Like, I remember we were in Epcot in the year it opened. And I'm old. So, but I remember going to see him. We would love to go see Figment and Dreamfinder. And I think kids would really love him now.
They would.
Yeah. So I think they should bring him back. And especially if they're going to have Figment.
Yeah. Jeff, for speaking of then, maybe for this, I'll send you a picture
Yeah.
I have sitting in our bedroom, I have a Figment bank from opening year.
Wow.
Oh wow.
It's on display. We have it. I have it here. It's a little like PVC type bank, but it's one thing I've kept my entire life.
Nice. Yeah. Send me a picture. I'll put it up on the site. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Jump. Okay. Then I guess still, let me ask Jeff and Karen then. Do you remember World of Motion?
Yes.
Okay. Karen?
Yes.
I do. I remember the pavilion, but I'm trying to remember what was in it.
It's where Test Track now is, and it was still vehicles, and, you know, it was the history of transportation and history of cars, and you went from the early days of the first cars through to today and then into the future and how transportation and vehicles will evolve.
Was there a ride in there?
Yeah.
See, I don't remember that either. Like, I remember the pavilion, which is why I'm probably, you know how people say now, Epcot, was boring and it's not for kids. I remember that when I was a teenager thinking that. So that maybe that was why I didn't really go in there.
Full disclosure, Karen's 13 years old.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
I don't understand.
I know. I was there, though, for the millennial celebration for the Tapestry of Nations parade, which was the most amazing parade on property that they had in World Showcase.
It really was a great parade. That music was phenomenal, and the torches, and I love that parade.
Yeah. Oh, Waylaw, the Waylaw song.
I don't miss the giant wand over Spaceship Earth.
Oh, come on.
You didn't miss that with the wand with the 2000
with the sparkles.
Really?
Yeah, I don't miss that. But the Tapestry of Nations parade, I thought that was amazing. I wish they would bring that back. Yeah,
the giant wand can sit in a warehouse with a giant hat.
Yeah.
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 And rot.
With a giant cake.
Oh, yeah.
I have
one more for Epcot.
Awful.
I have one more for Epcot. You ready for this one?
Ready.
All right. Off kilter.
That's a sore spot.
Yeah. We always have to get that controversy in there.
Right?
That's the one.
You know, and I would go out of my way to go watch Off Kilter play.
Yeah.
Every time.
I mean, I know acts change, but why? I mean, you know they're popular.
And they're still popular in the Orlando area.
Yeah, they still travel around.
Yep, and they've not been able to put anything in there since then that has stuck.
Nope.
No, not at all. Every time we walk by there, it's not like it was. People used to just sit, like we'd go sit and watch. And now people may stand and stop, just stop and stand and watch, but it's not like it used to be.
Yep.
Yeah, no offense to whomever is performing there. Forgive me, I don't know you off the top of my head. But, I mean, I think it was within the last week or so, we were walking past Canada, and there was a performance going on, and I mean, there were maybe 25 people, mm-hmm. and sitting in the little chairs or the benches and standing around. I mean, it wasn't a bad crowd, but like, I mean, if you ever were just walking through World Showcase and you walked through the Canada Pavilion, you were trying to get to one end or the other, and Off Kilter was performing, it was an ordeal, an effort just to try to get through the crowd that was standing from the water all the way to the stage. And that just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we saw the lumberjack thing that they did, and then I'm not sure how many different musical groups they've had in there since, but I know I've sat and watched, at least one of them since mm-hmm. Off Kilter left. And I mean, they're good musicians. I mean, it's no knock on the musicians at all. Phenomenal acts. It's just not Off Kilter. I mean, they had such a following and there was such a thing about them that really made them special. So I miss them.
I agree. So I know that I think we probably need to move on to Magic Kingdom now. And there's so many there that people miss. But Danny has one in particular that he is so upset about. And I'm just going to let him go ahead and talk about that.
Because it's depressing. I mean,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I mean,
I know. What is it?
It's an attraction that actually brought about protest in the park when it closed back in 1998. People had picket signs. People were doing sit-ins. it was, you know, the internet hadn't been around a hugely long time, and people were like trying to do campaigns for it, and it was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Ah.
Oh yes.
It is where many may not realize it because it's been there so long. The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh now stands there, and the attraction Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is still at Disneyland Park, but they took it out of Magic Kingdom, you know, our home park, and I'm done.
He hasn't been the same since, apparently.
We'll have a moment of silence first.
Yeah, when we go to Disneyland, I cannot tell you the time how many times we have to do Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for that very reason.
I'm glad they still have that there. So, you know, that and Snow White, so you can at least ride those attractions there. So I hope they hope they keep them.
Yeah. If they got rid of them there, it would be, I can't even imagine. But you mentioned one of the ones that I miss the most is Snow White. And then the other one, I don't know if you guys remember. Do you all remember If You Had Wings?
Yes.
That's one I missed.
Karen?
That was a show, right?
No.
No. Gosh, I don't remember that
one. It's where Buzz Lightyear is now.
Yeah.
Nope.
It was If You Had Wings, then there was Delta Dream Flight, then it was just Dream Flight, and then it moved on to Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. But If You Had Wings was the original, and it had a very catchy, you know, little theme song. So, I'm out.
I remember the Skyway, and I enjoyed the Skyway. So, yes.
Well, you'll be happy that the Skyliner is coming.
Very simple.
Yeah, I missed the Skyway, and I missed Mr. Toad Wild Ride and Snow White, but we can see those in Disneyland, so I'm happy with that. And I really, really missed the Spectrum Magic Parade. I hate that they don't have that anymore.
That is my favorite parade of all time, and that is the one I hated to see taken away. The music, the changing of the final float from all white to colored lights to back again, I missed that parade.
That and the music. And we don't have any nighttime parade there. What is up with that?
No, it looks like we would be getting one soon, and I can't believe we've gone this long without not having a nighttime parade.
Almost two years.
Seriously.
Yeah, almost 2 years. And when we were talking about the ones we would mention on here, I said, don't worry, Karen will bring up Spectrum Magic.
Because I love that one. And the music. And I liked the Main Street Electrical Parade, but the Spectrum Magic, I think, was just more nostalgic for me.
Mm. I agree.
But we don't have any now. And I hate that. And I hate it for our guests, because I know that, Stacey, I'm sure you get questions from people about the evening parade and, you know, to do, and there isn't one.
Oh, every time. Every time we will get someone who says, we want to be sure we're there so we can see the parade of fireworks. I'm like, well, if you're there at 3 o'clock, you can see the parade, because there's not going to be a nighttime parade. Yeah, sadly.
Okay, well, there's obviously plenty that most of us miss from Magic Kingdom. One of the things that I do love is that they do try to keep tributes. Like with Mr. Toad, he is seen a couple of times here and there. You know, you can find him in the Pet Cemetery over in Bahuana Mansion, and he's mentioned and shown a few times in Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, so that's good things. But, Jeff, is there anything you miss particularly from Magic Kingdom?
I have a few. Now, I'm going to really date my age here a little bit. Hmm. Does the name Michael Iceberg ring a bell to anybody?
Michael Iceberg?
I don't think so. Not that I can remember.
Yeah, okay. Not Eisner.
Nope, not Eisner. Iceberg. Okay, so you know the stage where Cosmic Ray actually sits there and does his little keyboard
thing?
It's
not Cosmic Ray.
Sunny Eclipse.
Or Sunny Eclipse. sorry. See, you got
me. I knew that.
Yeah, right. Okay, Sunny Eclipse is sitting there at Cosmic Ray. Listen to me. So Sunny on that stage where he sits. Now, there was a day when Cosmic Ray's was actually called Tomorrowland Terrace.
Yeah.
Okay. There used to be, and this goes back to the early 70s, there used to be a live performer there. His name was Michael Iceberg. And he had this big rig of synthesizers and samplers and stuff before synthesizers and samplers were a big thing. And he did a one-man show with all his gear. Yeah, he was there quite a while back in the 70s. And then he moved on and did some shows out at Disneyland and then kind of retired away. But you can find him on YouTube. But I missed him. He was, I'm a keyboard player, and, you know, so being a piano player, he was kind of my, that was kind of my go-to thing. But yeah, they used to have live entertainment in Cosmic Rays.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yep. That's me being old.
I'm also going to say I don't have that one in my memory. Do you remember Magic Journeys?
Yes.
You do?
Not by that name. What was that?
That's what it was. It was Magic Journeys. It was a 3D film that was actually at one point one of the many things that have been in that spot where Mickey's PhilharMagic now stands.
Oh, but okay.
It also was it at Epcot. I can't remember if it was at Epcot first or Magic Kingdom or vice versa, but it was also at Epcot where Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was, Captain EO, yes. And the like, yeah.
It was horrific. It was awful. I was terrified of it. It had a witch in it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it was so scary. I remember that. I was terrified to go in there and see that.
Yeah, the witch, at one point, the witch, like, there were these kids who were just experiencing different things in, like, life. And it was mainly, like, 3D images. And at one point, they're on a carousel, and they're reaching for a brass ring that's dangling right in front of the audience's eyes. And then there is this horrific green witch that was very similar to the one from Wizard of Oz, but on a much different horror level. And she would reach through, like, the screen towards the guest who had on the 3D glasses. Yeah, and it was quite terrifying.
Yeah, let's put that in Fantasyland.
Yeah, right.
For kids. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It was right across from Snow White's Scary Adventures.
Yeah, which my sister was terrified of. My sister still, she says, if I ever go back to Disneyland with you, I will not do it. My sister is still, my niece, Reagan, has never done Snow White's Scary Adventures because my sister wouldn't take her. She said she would not expose her to that.
Wait, random piece of trivia. Does anyone remember... remember or realize that the original version of Snow White's Scary Adventures did not have Snow White in it?
I don't remember it, but I've heard that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
She was not in it whatsoever, and she was put in later on, and the reason she was put in is because guests kept asking, where's Snow White? Where's Snow White? You were Snow White.
Oh.
Yeah. You were supposed to be Snow White, which is why you never saw her, and you always saw things from a perspective of, oh, look, the witch is looking at me. The evil queen is looking down at me. The dwarfs are dancing with me. You were Snow White.
See, if that were me on that ride, they would have to put a sign at the beginning of the ride that says, oh, by the way, you are Snow White. Because I never would have got that.
Channel your inner Snow White.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go, Jeffrey.
Here's your bluebirds.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gosh.
Well, the other thing, there's two other things that I kind of miss from Magic Kingdom as well. The first one, I don't miss it as much now that I've been out to Disneyland, but I did miss the removal of Toontown. But now that I've been to Disneyland and see Toontown out there, it's like, okay, I'm happy with Toontown not being at Magic Kingdom anymore.
It's a million times better in California.
It is. Yeah. It's 100 times better out there. I love it out in California.
But I did like that at Magic Kingdom as the meet and greet location for Mickey and Minnie. I just thought that was really cool. And the other thing I do miss at Magic Kingdom, it was just one of those little extra touches they had, but I do miss, was Push the Talking Trash Can.
Oh, yeah. Man. So many people loved that. Yeah, that was so fun.
I did. I do miss Push. That was kind of cool. So that's my list for Magic Kingdom.
That's not a bad list. I mean, I do miss Push. Push was a lot of fun, and he just added a little extra touch to Tomorrowland.
I have two things that are actually outside of the parks.
Oh, go ahead.
River Country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never actually went to River Country. Danny has.
Yeah, we went all the time because when I went with my family, when myself and my sisters were younger, my parents would always take us, and, you know, my parents were of the mindset, even though prices were very different back then, I mean, cost of living was different too. So my parents were of the mindset of let's stay as long as we can. So during the summer, we'd sometimes come for 2 to 3 weeks and stay at Fort Wilderness. So it was readily available. And right there, we'd always go to River Country. I do miss that part. That was a lot of fun. It was a different theme. Combining it with the actual lake, that was an awesome water park.
Yeah, we were the same way. We lived in Pennsylvania, and this is back before all the interstates and everything. It was a tour to get to Florida. Mm-hmm. And so you got there, and you spent a week, 2 weeks there. And then kind of the same thing. We did Fort Wilderness and would go over to River Country. And I remember the water slides. I remember there's like a zip liner thing that you're kind of supposed to hang on to. Yep. And go down. I was about as athletic as a spoon. And so I didn't make it too far down the zip line before I fell off. But yeah, that was a fun park. That was always kind of neat. So I do miss River Country. The other thing that I miss from outside the parks, and again, this is one of those things that still pop up every now and then online on social media, but I miss my Pleasure Island over at Downtown Disney.
Oh yeah, a lot. We still hear a lot.
Yeah, Pleasure Island was. I never really appreciated it until I did my first college program, and I can't remember. I think it was Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights, cast members got in free, and it was always where we went. It was just the thing to do, and we would go to the beach club or 8 Tracks, and mm-hmm. I loved Pleasure Island. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it added a lot to that Downtown Disney area. I hate that they took that out.
Of course, Comedy Warehouse. I would just loop out of one show into the next show there. The jazz club they had there was really fun. And of course, Adventurers Club. I'm still waiting for the Adventurers Club cast to show up somewhere.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they had performed some of them. There was that Comedy Warehouse thing that Hollywood Studios had at Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Occasionally. And I think some of the Adventurers Club performers actually did take part in that over the years.
And some of the Adventures Club guys actually were at times posed as the judges in the former American Idol.
I didn't know that.
Show as well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was kind of neat. It was a real neat facility. I really liked that a lot. And what was fun, what they did, they had New Year's Eve every night, which was kind mm-hmm. of a fun party. It was kind of like an MTV-ish style party. And then when they had that West End stage set up, they would bring in some pretty top-name bands. I mean, Hootie and the Blowfish was there a couple times. And mm-hmm. I was a big jazz fan. They had a band there called the Yellow Jackets, which was at one point was like one of the top jazz bands in the country. And I just happened to be there. Didn't even know they were going to be there. And that, my night ended up standing in front of the West End stage watching this. So... yeah, I miss Pleasure Island a lot. I mean, I love Disney Springs, don't get me wrong, but I do miss Pleasure Island.
Yeah, I agree. Disney Springs is great now, but some of the slight touches that used to be there, you know, Disney Quest, Pleasure Island, all that, those, I hated to see those go, but again, sure. I understand why they did.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. Oh, we kind of skipped over Animal Kingdom. I know we talked a lot about Animal Kingdom in a prior episode. Is there anything over at Animal Kingdom other than maybe Camp Minnie Mickey that anybody's missing?
I think we talked about it in a prior episode, but of course, Tarzan Rock.
That's right, the shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing that I miss the most.
Yeah, that's that and Mickey's Jungle Jam. That one, the parade. And then when they retheme it a little bit for Jingle Jammin' for Christmas, I miss that and Tarzan Rocks. So yeah, those were great. Those great performance. Again, though, looking back on some things, it's the live performances and that's just something that's missing all around Walt Disney World.
Oh, you know something? Back to Magic Kingdom. I mentioned this to Karen yesterday when we were preparing for this, and she kind of had that blank stare again. Do you guys remember the? Do you guys remember the swan boats in the water in the hub area?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I do. And you'd go down there, and there was the launch by the Rose Garden.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. That pavilion's, is it still standing or? Did they take that? I think they took that down. But it wasn't that long ago. I think it was when they finished that last wave of construction in there, mm-hmm. when they expanded that. But that pavilion was there for a long time.
Yeah, but that was there for quite some time.
Yeah, even since we moved down here in 2012, 2011, something like that, I can't remember, within the last 6-7 years, the Swan Boat launch was still down there. Not the launch, but the little pavilion house where we'd go down there through the Rose Garden, and just sometimes if we were hot and getting out of the sun or just sitting and people watching, mm-hmm. we'd go sit down there and just for a while. And yeah, when they expanded the hub and made that second circle around it, they completely redid that and got rid of that whole area.
Now, I remember all that. And so I used to go down there all the time. But I don't remember there being, like, actual boats or anything in there.
They were shaped like swans. And you'd go around the moat around, or whatever you want to call it, by, in front of Cinderella Castle.
Very interesting.
So this is a question I thought that we could all answer. And so we miss so many things now. But what's the one attraction that they have now that you think they absolutely could not take out?
That you could not live without.
That you could not live without.
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my mine. God.
Peter Pan.
Jeff.
Splash Mountain.
I was going to say the same as Karen. Peter Pan. I just think it's so classic.
Yeah.
When I think of Walt Disney, that's what I think of. When I think of Walt Disney, the man, like himself, I think of Peter Pan. I think of that picture. Do you all know the picture I'm talking about of him sitting in the, sitting actually on the ride on Peter Pan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the picture I think of. And I think they just could never get rid of that just because that's what I think of.
Oh, yeah, they can't. And that attraction on both parks, on both coasts, always has a huge line. Like, that's the attraction that everybody is running for. And it cracks me up in California. I mean, they are literally running for that the way they run for Flight of Passage at Animal Kingdom. Peter Pan is that attraction in Disneyland, which I hate for personal reasons because the line's long.
Right, exactly.
But time to get there. But I love how that is the one attraction that everybody wants to make sure that they get to. Just the nostalgia for that.
Yeah.
That
was what I was thinking is that when we were talking about this, I was thinking, what's the one thing that I would probably throw a fit over if they got rid of
me? I'd be devastated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peter Pan and Small World. Those are the two. But really, I just think Peter Pan's the classic that we just couldn't do without.
I'll throw another one in there just from the nostalgia aspect of it would be, and I don't go there because it sets me off for the rest of the day, and you'll understand what that means in a second, but the tiki birds.
Oh yeah.
Like if they got rid of the tiki birds, that would bother me, even though I haven't stepped foot in there in like 10 years, but just from the nostalgia aspect of it.
That's classic Disney. I agree.
Well, see, remember when they changed it to under new management with Iago and Zazu?
Yep.
Yeah, and people almost started a riot.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, like, there was that one day that, you know, some people may not realize this, that there was actually an electrical fire, and apparently Iago burned up the animatronic, and some people were saying it was a sign from Walt himself that he wanted it to return back.
I bet you it was.
And then after that, Iago and Zazu were gone, and the new management was gone, and it was old Tiki Birds again.
Yeah, oh, he didn't like that, I'm sure.
Yeah, Disney fans like their stuff, and they like it how, you know, classic. And
how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, how it's supposed to be. And I think some things you just can't change. And I think those are some of them, the ones we just mentioned. So I agree with all those. Yeah.
That's a great question. Thanks for asking. I like that. Yeah. All right. Anything left on your list anywhere that we kind of missed or didn't cover?
I think that wraps it up for me. I mean, of course, there's lots of things we could talk about for so long that, you know.
Oh, of course.
I mean, if we could go back, I would love to go back to, you know, the 80s and do everything over again. And I would love to go back, especially when Karen was talking about Kitchen Cabaret, and I'd like to watch it now and compare the animatronics then to now and see if we would still feel the same, Karen, if we would like to watch it.
Oh, I think we would. I think we would. Yeah.
But, definitely. I mean, Disney's Disney, so. But, yeah.
I mean, it was singing broccoli.
I know.
I would love to see that again. And I'm not being sarcastic or, like, you know, a jerk. I would really love to have that back again.
But, yeah.
It was the original VeggieTales.
Yeah.
Okay, it's funny you say that because we were talking about rides we missed the other day, and Stacy was like, "What's that VeggieTales show that used to be at Epcot?" I'm like, "You know that's not what it's called." She goes, "I know, it's Kitchen Cabaret." She's like, "No, for some reason now, I guess with, you know, today's things and news and shows," she goes, "VeggieTales just keeps jumping in."
glad to see we think alike, Jeff.
Exactly. Well, that was a fun and wonderful retrospective into the attractions and entertainment and parades and all kinds of stuff that we just miss over the years. So, guys, thanks so much for sharing that. And hopefully all of our listeners enjoyed the just a little lighthearted look at Walt Disney World from yesteryear. If you are thinking about making your next Disney vacation to some of the new things that are coming up, like Toy Story Land and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and seeing Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway and Pandora and some of the new things that are happening that are exciting at Walt Disney World, please be sure to contact your dream designer at My Mickey Vacation Travel. My Mickey Vacation Travel is the proud sponsor of this podcast, so please reach out and support the team and book your next vacation so that your family can have the vacation that you deserve. And also be sure to reach out for all of your latest Disney news at drdisney.com and Facebook and Instagram by searching for Dr. Disney. That is it for us this week. We hope you all enjoyed our podcast, and we hope to see you real soon.